Well, this morning, as we turn to the Word of God, I'm going to dive back into another one of these What's Up With That sermons. Kind of just been picking off some of the things that it has occurred to me or that I've taken note of through the years. Things that we talk about in the church or things that we do in the church that sometimes don't make sense to people. And I guess it kind of happens two ways, as I've discovered. I think there's people outside the church that don't really understand why Christians do that sort of stuff. And I think there's people in the church that do or don't do it and kind of don't know why they don't do or they do it. Do. I've totally wrapped my... It's going to be a good sermon today. Are you excited about this? I've already stumbled over my words 15 times. So we've looked at some of these things. I told you last week, I feel like one of the key words is arbitrary. You know, there's stuff that Christians do that must seem arbitrary if you don't really understand the biblical framework or the biblical reasons why we do the things we do. So we talked about, you know, water baptism. Like, if I love Jesus and believe in Jesus, why do I have to dunk my head in water? Is it like an ALS thing or something? What's that all about? We talked about some different things. You've seen in the bulletin some of the topics we're going to discuss. Today, though, my What's Up sermon is What's Up With Tithing. And as you can see, word got out that I would be preaching on tithing today, because there's a... few more empty chairs than I'm used to looking at from the pulpit. But I do want to begin with kind of a disclaimer, because I know that for a lot of people, this sermon topic is on the Mount Rushmore of least favorite sermons. Can I get a hearty amen to that? Well, all right. Praise Hallelujah. He's going to talk about money. That's great. And some of us already are like, oh, here we go again. And some of us are like...
About time.
Yeah. Okay, there's those. And then some of us are like, is he talking about me? I think he might be talking about me. Is he talking about me? I'm a little bit worried that he's talking about me. And then some of you are feeling very nervous right now because you're hoping and praying that I don't say anything stupid. Okay, you're like, I love Dan, but man, is he playing with it today. I sure hope he doesn't say anything that embarrasses my friends. Right? Okay? I know how nervous congregations get when the pastor starts talking about money. And I know it, and here's the reveal, because pastors get really nervous when they start talking about money. And I know a lot of pastors who hate to talk about money. I know some who avoid it altogether. I know some who hate it, but they're kind of obsessed with it, so they never stop talking about it. You know, and it's just bad. It's just bad, and it's very uncomfortable. So can we all agree that we're in this together? Can we all agree that we're going to hang on here, we're going to buckle in, we're going to have a great message, and 2 to 3 hours from now, I'll say the closing prayer, and we'll be fine. The reason I want to preach about tithing today is I can guarantee that this is one of the things that people don't understand. They don't get it. What's up with that? It fits really well in this series about things that people don't understand. And for those that aren't even necessarily familiar with the word, tithing refers to giving 10% of your income to your church. Now, why on earth would anybody give? I mean, seriously, why on earth would anybody give 10% of their income to this place? And so I want to ask you just for your trust today. I want to ask you for your trust, and I want to ask you for your grace as I stumble through a few things. I want to assure you this. No part of this sermon, I feel like a disclaimer, like no ducks were harmed in the filming of this sermon, right? No part of this sermon was composed with anyone in particular in mind. Okay? So if you ever find yourself wondering, honey, is he talking about us? The answer is no. No part of this sermon was composed with anybody in my mind. I know that some tithe and some don't. My job, according to the Bible, is to treat everyone fairly. I treat everybody in this church exactly the same way, regardless of their tithing habits, regardless of their financial situation, regardless of their giving habits. The scripture compels me to be that kind of pastor. So no part of this was created with somebody in particular in mind. This is not a passive aggressive sermon, okay? It's just aggressive, that's all. My job is to preach the word. My job is to preach the entire word, even the parts that sometimes make us feel uncomfortable. So we're going to stick together. We're going to get through this. And when we're done, I think we'll have maybe some fresh perspectives on what's up with tithing. What is that even all about? And some of you that have heard umpteen tithing sermons before, you know that any sermon on tithing is very likely to begin in that little tiny book at the very end of the Old Testament, Prophet Malachi. We hardly ever turn to Malachi unless the pastor's talking about tithing, right? There's actually a lot of other really good stuff in Malachi, but we're not going to get there. But in the interest of starting on somewhat familiar territory, we're going to look at Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. These are God's instructions to his people spoken through this Old Testament prophet. In chapter 3, verse 10 of his prophecy, he says on God's behalf, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it." So this is perhaps the most explicit reference to tithing we have in the scripture. Malachi the prophet, speaking on God's behalf, says, "Bring your tithes. Test me in this." That's pretty unique. You know, we're used to hearing, "Don't put the Lord your God to a test," right? But in this instance, God actually says, "Go ahead. Go ahead. You feel lucky? Go ahead. Test me in this, and you'll find out that I will throw open the doors to heavenly blessing, and there will be so much blessing in your life that you won't have room enough to store it." That's going to be our bouncing off point, though we're going to take a tour through both Old and New Testaments today. Before we do that, I want to talk about this word, tithe. I found that one of the what's up with tithing issues is that we don't have a real good grasp on what the word itself means. And since I'm going to say it 473 times in the next 20 minutes, I want to make sure we understand. The word tithe is actually from the Old English, and it literally means 10%. Okay? So the idea that, you know, sometimes you'll encounter people that say, "Well, we tithe, we just don't tithe 10%. Well, if you don't tithe 10%, then you don't tithe. The word literally means 10%. As a matter of fact, if you look at the etymology, like how the words came to be what they be, it has a very, very similar root word in the Old English to the word dime. Okay? Like a coin. And a dime is literally 10% of a dollar. That same root is where we get this word tithe. It literally means 10%. So there really is no such thing. I'm not going to address the issue today. How much should I tithe? That question doesn't make sense when we understand the word. Tithe just means 10%. The word itself indicates the amount. As a matter of fact, in the Bible, this word, this ancient word that sometimes we translate into tithe, sometimes, just because of the way the sentence is put together, we have to translate it other ways according to what makes sense in English. So you're going to find some scriptures in your Bible that don't say anything about tithing, but they make references to 10%. And I'm going to show you some of those today, and I'm going to show you how it's the same word. It really is the word tithe. And so I bring that up because sometimes people look through their Bible and they'll be like, there really aren't too many. You know, it doesn't talk a whole lot about tithing. It actually talks about it more than we sometimes think it does in English because of the way the translation process works. Sometimes we have to use phrases where words would have made sense. But it is usually the same word in the original Hebrew or the Greek. Tithe, 10%. Are we cool with that? So God wants us to bring the entire tithe. Another kind of more literal way of saying this verse from Malachi would be, you know, bring the entire 10% into the storehouse. He wants us to bring the entire tithe into his house, but we need to understand how to do that. That is a legit question. How do I tithe? That is an entirely legit question. If I want to obey that command, I kind of need a few footholds to understand how to do that. And so in order to do that today, I feel like the best way to talk about tithing is to begin by talking about what tithing is not, because I find a lot of misconceptions. And this first one might be a paradigm shift for a lot of us, but it's going to be foundational for everything else we talk about today. This is important. Tithing is not giving. It's not giving. A lot of times we combine the two. We talk about, you know, giving. And we tend in our services to do those two things at the same time. Pastor Jim very artfully today, green means money. When we passed the green basket, and when we were looking for new baskets to put our communion cups in, burgundy, you know, matches the grape juice. There you go. We do them at the same time. We tithe and we give. On my financial statements for the church, I have a line item in our budget that says tithes and offerings, because functionally it's really the same thing. But scripturally, it's not. It's not the same thing, and that's going to be a helpful first step for us to understand. Tithing is not giving. It sounds like giving. It looks like giving. But the issue is this. I cannot give what isn't mine. And Scripture is going to be consistent in insisting that the tithe already belongs to God. And so if I put my tithe in a basket, I haven't actually given anything, because I've just returned what already belonged to somebody else. We aren't giving when we tithe. Let me show you what I mean. Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30, which is one of the passages that sets up near the beginning of the Bible this issue of tithing for us. It says, a tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees. And of course, this is speaking to a culture that isn't going to have cash currency. So they're talking about their commodities there. A tithe of everything from the land belongs to, who does it belong to? It belongs to the Lord. It's holy to the Lord. And again, when we say holy, we don't mean that it has a soft glow about it. And if you listen very closely, you can hear angels sing when you're near it. It means literally it's set apart. Okay? So you've got all this stuff, God is saying. Okay, you got your grain, you got your fruit, you got your commodities, okay? But a tithe of it, and what does that mean? 10% of it? 10% of it is different. It's different. It looks like the rest of it, but it's different because it doesn't belong to you. It doesn't belong to you. It belongs to somebody else. I was thinking of it this way. When I go to the bank, to the same, and I know nobody does this anymore, but if you actually like literally walked into the bank with a withdrawal slip for your savings account, you know, I do that sometimes, go to the teller, right? Do you remember tellers? It's the one person who works in the big bank building. Good grief, don't get me started. You go to the teller and hand your withdrawal slip to them, right? And let's say I've got a savings account. Let's say I've got $1,000 in my savings account. And I hand them a withdrawal slip for $100. And they take it and they pull out their cash drawer and they count out five $20 bills. And, 20, 40, 60. And they hand me the money. Have I gotten anything? Am I any richer right now than I was 2 minutes ago? I haven't. Why not? Because it was my money, right? It was mine. Did the teller give me anything? No, the teller didn't give me anything. When the teller does that, I mean, I'm polite, so I thank you for your service, madam, or something like that. But I'm not like, oh my goodness, $100? You're so generous. How can I ever thank you for this? I don't do that because they didn't give me anything. That was my money. And all they're doing is returning to me what I've asked for. I put my money in that bank so that they can use it wisely and hopefully make, you know, like a little bit more, right? But when I'm ready to take it back, I expect that it's going to come back to me, because whose money is it? It's mine. And I'm appreciative that they've handled it the right way, but I'm not terribly grateful when I get my withdrawal slip back, because it's my money, right? And what the Bible, in essence, tells us is that we are God's savings account. We are his savings account, and he has given us resources, and this is a whole other sermon, by the way, but frankly, with the idea that we would use them wisely and try to make a little more, right? Jesus talked a lot about that, didn't he? But he's given us these resources, and from time to time, he hands us a withdrawal slip, and so like good tellers, we just give him back what was actually his the whole time. It's not giving. Tithing is not giving. We've simply returned what was God's in the first place. And it's important to understand that, because there's a lot of people who know the Bible but want to push back on this idea of tithing, right? People who are like, I don't think this tithing thing is legit. I don't think that's really what God meant. Because, Pastor, doesn't the Bible say that God loves a cheerful giver? And Lord, trust me, I'm not cheerful when I write a check for 10% of what I just earned. And doesn't the Bible say that you should not give under compulsion, like because you've been told what to give? And doesn't the Bible say each one should give what's in his own heart to give? And the answer is yes. The Bible says all three of those things. But those verses are about giving. They aren't about tithing. And time doesn't allow right now for me to go into the nitty-gritty of this, but you could go back and look them up or ask me for the references. I could show you those verses, all of them are written with regards to special offerings that were being asked for traveling missionaries. And the presumption is that the people who were being asked about providing those offerings, give cheerfully, give whatever you're able to give, whatever you have in mind to give. Don't give under compulsion. If you can't give right now, don't give right now. Those are the clear biblical instructions. Given to people who had already tithed. Given to people who had already tithed. Because tithing isn't giving. So, Pastor, doesn't the Bible say those things about giving? Absolutely it does. That's about giving, not about tithing. Because tithing just isn't giving. And because it's not really giving, we have to understand that tithing, as the Bible would have it, is not discretionary. Some folks mistakenly assume that the principle of tithing is to give, and you see how we're already off on the wrong foot if we say it's about giving, but we mistakenly assume that the principle of tithing is to give 10% of my income to the ministry or charity of my choice. And so I'm going to divide it up, and I'm going to give 3.5% to this particular ministry, and I'm going to give some to church just to keep the pastor off my back, but I really want to give some here, and I want to do this, and I want to do this, and I want to do that. And when you add it all up, 10%, I can put that on my 1040 at the end of the year and take a pretty nice deduction for it. But this is not how the Bible describes tithing at all. Deuteronomy chapter 14, I want to read this for you. Again, we're just talking about commodities here. Eat the tithe of your grain, your new wine, and your olive oil, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks in the presence of your Lord your God, where? At the place he will choose as a dwelling for his name. So the tithe is being collected at the place where I choose? No. At the place he will choose as a dwelling for his name, so that you may learn to revere the Lord your God always. We don't tithe to the place or places of our choosing. We tithe at the place that God has chosen. The place specifically, according to this scripture, that he has chosen, that he has said, this is where my name dwells. When we read the Bible, there's really only one place that fits that description. Where is the place where God says his name dwells? Well, it's the temple. It's the community of his people. Parenthetically, I'm referencing Deuteronomy chapter 4, probably not the passage that you stayed up late reading last night. I recognize that. Deuteronomy chapter 14 here has a lot to say about tithing, and it's not one we turn to very often. But go ahead, go read this. You know your job anytime I preach is to go home and check out and make sure that what I told you was true. Go back and read Deuteronomy chapter 14. It talks about bringing this tithe to the temple, and there's all kinds of interesting things there about the ways that you could do that in an agrarian society, things that don't necessarily correspond to how most of us live right now. But one of the things it actually says there is then decide what you're going to do with it. Like you get, and it actually says spend it on anything you want. The tithe. Spend it on anything you want. I got on the Google machine this week and found a blog that somebody had written referencing that verse saying, see, pastors have gotten this wrong for generations. The tithe is supposed to be spent on anything you want. So your scriptural duty is to every so often take 10% of your income and throw a great big party and have fun and invite all your friends. I struggled with the logic of that. Do we see that we're missing out on what we highlighted here? At the place that God has chosen. And what do we do with that? Spend it on anything you want. Well, I would submit to you that that's exactly what God's people do. In Deuteronomy 14, they're talking about an annual tithe. And as a matter of fact, here at HRCC, annually, God's people get together. We call it our business meeting. And we have a conversation and discussion about how exactly we're going to spend the tithe. And that's what we do. So I would submit to Mr. Bloggy Man, who I discovered this week, that he's kind of missing the point here. It's just like our business meetings. But the point that I really want to make here is this. It's not discretionary. It's not about me spending my money where I choose. It's about me submitting God's money to him, to the place he has chosen. Trying to pay your tithes by going to a variety of ministries and a variety of places as a matter of logic, I think is a little bit by trying to pay, it's like trying to pay somebody else's property taxes, right? Like a very nice idea, a very good idea. And if anyone would like to help me cover my property taxes, talk to Sue. She can connect you with the information you need. We would be very appreciative of that. But if you choose to do that, ultimately the county assessor is going to come talk to you and say, where are your taxes? And when they do, you can't say, oh, we actually gave them to the Martinsons. They're so kind. We wanted to pay the Martinsons taxes this year. So we're cool. It was still 10%. No, when we pay our taxes, we pay our taxes. It's not discretionary. You don't get to choose whose property you're going to pay taxes on. And so I think kind of the same thing is going on with tithing. In the Bible, there are plenty of examples of charitable people giving sacrificially to other churches, to other ministries, to other causes. These things are to be commended. And that's exactly why we do what we do here. I try and give my congregation plenty of opportunity to experience the joy of investing and sowing and giving. I am talking about giving now in other directions to other places. But we have to recognize it's just not tithing. That's not what tithing is about. With tithing, there is an importance in yielding control. And I find that to be a challenge for people. Okay? So like if I am going to tithe, I get that blue envelope out and I write, okay, there's $100 in here. Here's what I want you to do with it, Pastor. I want you to spend 25 on this missionary. I want you to give 35 to the youth. And Pastor Marianne was in church last week. I'm thinking about that jail ministry, so I want to make sure she gets it. Right? Well, that's not the heart behind tithing. Because you see, when I've done that, I haven't yielded control. I haven't submitted. Tithing is a principle that says, God, this is yours. So I'm going to turn it over because it's not mine. As long as I'm trying to say, you know, tell somebody else what they need to do with it, I'm pretending like it's still mine. I'm pretending like it's discretionary. And that's not. There's an importance in yielding control, yielding discretionary authority over the money. We need to have pure and obedient motives in tithing. Because, and this is important, tithing is not a way to buy God's favor. It's just not a way to buy God's favor. I've heard some Christians talk about tithing as if it was the only financial issue that mattered. Have you heard that sermon before? Right? Like, you can do whatever you want. As long as you tithe on it, you're going to be good because God loves tithers. It's like tithing is automatically going to solve all your problems and make everything perfect, and God's going to really like you if you tithe. I've heard that sermon. I disagree with it. I don't think that's what the Bible says. As a matter of fact, let's look at what Jesus said. Matthew chapter 23. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, and he says, woe to you, which is not because they were about to trip, like, woe. No, woe is like bad things are going to happen to you guys, right? Bad things are going to happen to you guys. Woe to you, you teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. Now watch this. He says, you give a tenth of your spices. So what word did he actually just use there? In the English it says he gave a tenth, but what word did he actually use there? He said, you tithe. If we read it in the original language, what Jesus actually says is, you tithe your spices. So here's what we got going on. These legalistic Pharisees, they were really good tithers. They didn't just tithe their income and their commodities. If they were making a roast and they had to use 5 teaspoons of Old Bay seasoning, they would take half a teaspoon of Old Bay seasoning and make sure that that got over to the temple. He's like, you guys literally are even tithing your spices. Let me get back into the scripture here. You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, cumin, and presumably Old Bay seasoning as well. But you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. Do we hear what's happening here? These guys were excellent tithers, perhaps the best the world has ever known. And were they commended for it? No, they get the dreaded woe. The dreaded bad stuff is going to happen to you. It's not the magic formula for buying God's favor. Don't assume that your tithing is going to impress God. Why would it? It's his money anyhow. It's a little bit, we talked about this a few months ago, like the whole, like, do we give our children allowance for cleaning their own rooms, right? And that thing, imagine the kid that shows up and is like, Mom, Dad, I just cleaned my room. Come on, pay up, $50. And his parents, you're like, seriously? You know, but it's your room. It's, you know, that's what you were supposed to do. And I think sometimes, you know, it would be like the kid being like, but yeah, but it's like a really big room. It's a really big room, so pay up. Doesn't matter how big or how little the room is, we don't buy our parents' favor by just being responsible for ourselves. In the same way, we can't buy God's favor by tithing. That's not the reason we do it. That's not the motivation behind it. So those are a few things that tithing is not. We got to switch and kind of look at the reverse here. Let's talk about what tithing is. Tithing is, I already referenced this, frankly, but it's commodities based. Tithing is commodities based. Folks have asked me through the years if it's necessary to tithe a full 10% if you're involved in giving of yourself in other ways. Because if you've heard the giving sermon, and remember, I'm not preaching a giving sermon today because tithing is not giving, but if you've heard the giving sermon before, you've heard the preacher say, well, we give of our treasure, but we give of our time and our talents. That's kind of the official preacher's three T's, right? Our time, our talents, and our treasures. And it's absolutely true. You can give in all three of those ways. And we should give. God always wants his people to be charitable and to be gracious and to be extravagant in their giving. But, say it with me again, we're not talking about giving today. We just aren't. And so the confusion of, well, if I'm giving of my time and of my talent, does that somehow like detract from what I need to give of my treasure? That question just doesn't pertain to tithing. Throughout Scripture, tithing is always commodities-based. The question makes God out to be kind of like the IRS, doesn't it? Like if I do this and that and the other thing, isn't that tithe deductible? Like, can I fill out my W-2, my 1040 at the end of the year, and, well, I did this, and if I include my mileage, I mean, Brian Carlson comes early to church every Sunday. He should get a per-mile credit that's tithe deductible. Can we do that? Can we do that? I mean, we kind of think that way about tithing, like God is the IRS. But that's not the way it works. Now, it is true, as we've said, that God wants us to cheerfully give of our time, talents, and treasures. But we're not talking about giving. We're talking about tithing. The Bible consistently uses a different language here. Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 12. You see the reference on the screen. It says, when you have finished setting aside a tenth of all your produce, of your commodities, okay, your stuff, when you've done that, give it to the Levite. Those were the clergymen of the day. Give it to the clergyman, the foreigner, the refugees, right, the fatherless, the widows, the at-risk people in your homes, in your society. So there's compassion going on here. There's ministry taking place so that they may eat in your towns and be satisfied. In other words, what's happening here is God is telling his people, make sure that you are regularly collecting the commodities-based tithe so that it can be leveraged for the ministry I've called you to do in your community. The commodities. Every time the Bible references tithe, it references commodities or currency. Never, the Bible just never says anything about tithing our time, or tithing our talents, or tithing our thought life. People have said, and I don't mean to make fun, but, well, I spend a lot of time praying for my church. That's got to be worth something, right? Every time the Bible talks about tithe, it specifically references commodities. And it just doesn't talk about giving the same way. But tithing is always in reference to commodities or currencies. And as this verse shows, there's actually a practical function to our tithe. And it has to do, among other things, with providing for the less fortunate. And that's why it requires commodities. And that makes sense because tithing is a response to God's blessing. It's a tangible response to God's blessing, right? It's one thing to say, I love you, but it's something altogether different to tangibly demonstrate that with our actions. And that's kind of what tithing is, though it doesn't have specifically to do with love. It's a recognition of blessing. God makes this clear actually the very first time the Bible teaches us about tithing. For this, we go all the way back to Genesis chapter 14. And this is a story about Abram, who later would become Abraham. In this story, Abram had just gone through an experience where he had been in danger, and he was delivered from danger. And in the course of his delivery, he goes from being just kind of rich to being Scrooge McDuck rich. Like, there's this huge blessing poured over him, a spiritual blessing, but a tangible blessing as well. And when this happens, look at what Genesis chapter 14 tells us. There's an appearance by this man named Melchizedek. Melchizedek, who's kind of this mysterious guy in the Old Testament. We're not sure exactly who he is or where he came from. And a lot of the New Testament authors are like, we kind of think he was Jesus. We kind of think this was like a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus, because we're not sure exactly who this guy was. But here's what happens. Melchizedek shows up, and Melchizedek isn't just some random guy. Melchizedek, according to the word, is the priest of God Most High, the one true God. He blessed Abram. A priest doesn't bless on his own. A priest blesses on behalf of God. He blesses who God blesses. So he is speaking for God here. So it's important that a priest of God is blessing Abram. And he says, blessed be Abram by God Most High. Not by me, Melchizedek, but by God. God has bestowed his blessing on Abram. Blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth. And praise be to God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand. And then Abram gave him a tenth of everything. And in the English, we use the whole phrase there, gave him a tenth, but you're so much smarter than that. Now, you know what is the actual word in the original language here. Then Abram, what did he do? He tithed. That's what it actually says in the Hebrew here. Melchizedek pronounces not his blessing, but God's blessing upon Abram. It's like, Abram, look what just happened here. God bless you. And Abram realized it, and his immediate response was, he tithed. That's what he did. He tithed. It's a response to God's blessing. When I tithe, I am taking specific action that demonstrates that I recognize the blessing of God in my life. Here's one way to think about it. Tithing is an action that recognizes that God has given me access to at least 111% of what I need. And so I can take the tithe of that, the 10% of it, and say, Lord, you've given me access to, at the very least, 111% of what I need. So it's no problem for me whatsoever to return this tithe to you. Do we have to do that sometimes in faith? Absolutely. We absolutely have to do it in faith. Do we do it because the balance sheet says, yeah, this isn't going to be a problem, no worries? No. We do it in faith. But faith recognizes the blessing of God. Faith recognizes the way God has provided. Faith recognizes that God's provision is, I mean, if you want to do the math on it, at least 111% of what we need. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 says it's actually far more than 111%. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 says God is able to bless you abundantly. And the image here is of a pitcher that you left in the sink and left the faucet on and forgot about it, and it's just overflowing. It's just overflowing. God blesses us like that. God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, you have all you need. So tithing is a way of getting that idea from just verbal assent, well, yeah, God provides for my needs, to saying, well, I'm quite literally going to put my money where my mouth is. And say, I recognize that God has given to me abundantly. And so even if in this moment or on this particular day or on this particular week, I don't see it, I'm going to act out of faith, not by sight, and recognize the blessing of God in my life. But everything we've said today, church, all my tithing is nots and all my tithing is, those things are ultimately only significant because of this final point. And here it is. Tithing is affirmed by Jesus. It's affirmed by Jesus. One of the struggles that I think a lot of people have with tithing is we have this idea like, well, isn't that kind of like Old Testament? You know, the part of the Bible that we don't have to pay attention to anymore, right? It's an Old Testament thing, and surely Jesus didn't really talk about that because it's not in this. But I would argue that it is, and I'm going to show you. The issue is this. Why do we tithe? We tithe because Jesus said to. And just like with some of these other why we do the things we do sermons, it kind of comes down to that, right? We do it because this is what Jesus told us to do. Let me show you. Matthew 23, we actually already saw this, but I glossed right over it, didn't I? This is when Jesus was yelling at the guys who were tithing their Old Bay seasoning. He said, "Woe to you, bad stuff is going to happen to you, you teachers of the law and you Pharisees, you hypocrites, you give 10%. You tithe, right? You tithe your spices, you tithe, but you've neglected justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter. You should have practiced justice, mercy, and faithfulness." Drum roll, please. "Without neglecting the former." Jesus is saying, you should have, yes, have the heart. I'm definitely talking about the heart here. Have the heart that I'm looking for. But don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You should have the heart without neglecting the important practice, in this case, of tithing. We have this misconception, as I've said, that tithing is somehow irrelevant to us because it's part of the Old Testament law and it's not in the New Testament. Now, I just showed you, it actually is in the New Testament, and not only in the New Testament, it's right from the words of Jesus. He's saying, live a God-honoring lifestyle. Have a heart like Jesus's heart. Absolutely, do all of those things. But don't use those things as an excuse not to tithe, is what Jesus says. He specifically told us not to neglect or give up our habit of tithing. There are a lot of questions about tithing. And I'm kind of having fun today because I enjoy seeing your eyes as I preach. And there's a few folks out there who are still a little uncomfortable. But I promise you, we're going to get through this together. And we're a stone's throw away. We're right there. No congregants have been harmed in the filming of today's sermon, right? There are a lot of very common questions about tithing. Trust me when I say I field a lot of questions about tithing, and a lot of them are anonymous too. People have all sorts of questions because, let's recognize this, this is a dramatic paradigm shift from the world we live in. This is a legit question. What's up with tithing? Why would Christians talk about or practice this habit? I mean, seriously, the economy is what it is, right? Like, why would we do this? This is a legit question, but there are biblical answers to it. What I find, though, is that a lot of the questions we have about tithing have to do with, like, one of the most common, well, do I tithe on the net or on the gross? You know, like, is this a pre-tax tithe or a post-tax tithe? People ask, do I have to tithe on inheritance? Like, you know, if I just inherit money, am I supposed to tithe on that? What about, like, Roth IRAs versus traditional IRAs? Because if the tax liability is now, do I tithe now? What about Social Security? I mean, I put that money in the first place, so is it still, and we're treating it like taxes, right? How about dividends? How about stock options? Do I have to tithe on those? Like, what's that all about? What about retirement distributions? I've got an IRA. You know, what do I do with that? What about non-cash commodities? If I'm in the real estate market and I'm just, you know, or all of these things, and we ask questions that these are usually the moments where I'm like, I'm a pastor. And before that, I trained as a musician. So if you're going to talk, you know, finance with me, you're going to get a whole lot of crickets here. We ask a lot of those kinds of questions. The Bible really doesn't address them. And I think that's significant. Just like we said about water baptism, immersion, or kids, or splashing, or this, the Bible certainly could have given us good, hard rules about all those things if the Holy Spirit wanted to. But he didn't. And so I'm not going to address those questions today. I haven't addressed them because, frankly, I don't think those are the questions that really matter. Sounds weird, but tithing was never meant to be a legalistic issue. Nobody snort when I say that. I think we're predisposed to be, oh, the pastor said we all got to tithe, and if we don't tithe, then blah, blah. It sounds like a rule that we have to follow. But watch this. Tithing was never meant to be a legalistic issue. In fact, in the sense of the word law in the Bible, tithing has nothing to do, really, with the law. It predates the law in the Bible. There's nothing in the Ten Commandments that says anything about tithing, right? This is not theologically a matter of the law. And so we need to not make it a legalistic issue. Tithing has always been a heart issue. And so my desire for us today, for each of us, is that we become habitual tithers. This is not the last sermon I'll ever preach about tithing. Maybe I won't announce the next one and more people will show up, but it's not the last time I'll ever preach about tithing. I'm going to preach about it occasionally because Jesus preached about it occasionally, and my job is to deliver the word of God. I want us to become habitual tithers, and I get it can sound like a big step if you've never done it. Okay, I get that. But I can promise you, if that happens to be the boat that you're in right now, I can promise you this, that every habitual tither in this room has discovered an inexplicable grace and freedom in the discipline of tithing. And if you're wondering about that, I don't want you to ask me. I want you to find somebody else. I want you to ask somebody else here. There are too many tithing testimonies in this room for me to keep track of all of them. You find somebody else can say, okay, between you and me, this tithing thing, what's up with that? How does that work? There are too many testimonies in this room to keep track of them all. There is a grace and a freedom in tithing. You find somebody and seek out their testimony. And in the meantime, please, I implore you this way, don't fall prey to the lie that says, I will tithe later when I have enough. It's just a lie. And I don't know how to say that in a more loving, gentle fashion. So I got to just say it. That's a lie. And too many people believe it. Too many people believe it. I can tell you it's a lie. I can tell you that there's no one who can't tithe because there is no one to whom the promises of God do not apply. Do we hear those words today? There is no one to whom the promises of God do not apply. And there's a tragedy. There's a tragedy when I presume that my circumstances are the exception to the rule. There's a tragedy that takes place when I presume that my situation is the one that the Bible didn't really address when God talked about tithing, or about grace, or about forgiveness, or about anything else. Who are we to think that the Bible is true for everyone else, but not me? But not me. So my invitation for you today is this. Take what I've said. Take it home. If you're one of these uncomfortable sorts about money, extend me much grace. Extend me much forgiveness. But read through the scriptures that I've highlighted. There's so much more there. You can wrestle with them on your own. If you have some questions, you can bring them back to me. You can go to one of our deacons, one of our pastors, one of our leaders. You can ask them their thoughts. If you're curious for a testimony, you can ask somebody else. Or you can ask me to tattletale on someone who might have a good testimony. I'd be happy to do that. But I want to invite you into a place of breaking through and just recognizing, wow, what the Bible says, that's for me. That's for me. Church, that's the gospel. That's the gospel. Father, we thank you this day for your word. We thank you, Lord, that the words of Scripture are true. And even, perhaps, Lord, especially when they don't make immediate sense to us, especially when they seem so very, very counterintuitive. Lord, these are precisely the times when the people of God say, no, I think there's something different happening here. Help us to be a faith-driven people. Help us to be an obedient people, but Lord, a people who are obedient not out of compulsion, but out of our deep, abiding trust in your faithfulness. I thank you, Lord, that you have provided for our needs according not to our own riches or ability, but according to the glorious riches that we find in Christ Jesus. Help us to live accordingly. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.